I call the meeting of the Environment Natural Resources Finance Division to order. A quorum is present. Representative Fisher.
Yes, if I could move the minutes from the April 2nd meeting for approval.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Chair Hansen, would you like to move the Environment Natural Resources Finance Omnibus Bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move House File 2209 be recommended to be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
And would you like to move the DE3 amendments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move the DE3 amendment. And members, what we're going to do is move the DE3 amendment onto the bill so that we can then have the subsequent amendments to the bill, the DE3 amendment. So I would move the DE3 amendment.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And we will begin with the amendments. First up, Representative Hansen, I believe you're going to withdraw the A6 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A6 amendment was to be drafted relating to watershed districts, and it was drafted to soil and water districts, so I will not be offering that amendment.
The A6 amendment is withdrawn. And Representative Hansen, would you like to move the A20 amendments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A20 amendment. And these are technical corrections provided by the agency relating to amounts. And I believe these come from both the Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Natural Resources. It defines, I think it, one that is of note, it defines the PFAS as perfluoroalkali or polyfluoroalkali substances. And I would move the A20 amendment.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we will take up A17. Representative Ashland, would you like to present your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A17 amendment. A17. Thank you. The A17 amendment is a technical change coming from the department to just make sure that we have the two funds listed separately and can be done appropriately. I'll move the A17 amendment.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I would support the amendment.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We are not going to hear the A7 amendment because that was already included within the A20. And we will pick up the A18 amendment. Chair Hansen, would you like to move the A18 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A18 amendment. This repurposes $50,000 that in the DE3 amendment had been appropriated to the Lower Min Watershed District. Upon review of the budget, that is not needed. There's already funding in the governor's budget for the Lower Min. So that $50,000 is repurposed to local unit government for the storm. This would be the Representative Lippert bill where the trees and that had blown into the lake. So this provides half of their request for that storm debris removal from Roberts Lake.
Is there any discussion? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, just to be clear then, they would make up the difference. I think they had $100,000 in the Lippert bill, then that would be a local match. Is this money available to them if they don't do their $50,000 match?
Chair Hansen?
Madam Chair, my intent was that they would match, but it's not explicit in this bill.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, thank you for that, Representative Hansen. I think that as the bill moves forward, it would be a good clarification that this money is available if they have a local match. Thank you.
Chair Hansen, any other
questions? Ask for your support.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Next, we will hear the A2 amendment. Representative Eklund, would you like to move your amendment?
I'll move the A2 amendment, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, you got a promotion there, didn't you, Madam Chair? A2 amendment, Madam Chair, members, is $75,000 from the off-highway motorcycle account for a master plan for off-highway motorcycle trail, and removes the OHM license exemption for OHMs used exclusively at track racing events. The association supports removing the exemption in order to raise more money for the off-highway motorcycle account.
Is there any discussion? Chair Hansen?
Madam Chair, I support the amendment.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Chair Hansen, would you like to move your A19 amendment?
Madam Chair, I would move the A19 amendment. This amendment is the product of work from several individuals to define clearer the use of the grants for developing community ash management plans, identify and convert stands to more diverse climate-adapted species, and replace removed ash trees. In addition, the grants that are there, it defines those as to who they're eligible for. And then on the back page, it relates to the biomass fuel, defines that is for grants to counties rather than local units of government. And that the wood waste is the St. Paul District Heating and Cooling or another agricultural biomass combined heating and power plant owned in partnership with a government entity located in the state. There may be people who would like to testify in support of this if there are any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee? Is there testifiers? Please introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Craig Johnson with the League of Minnesota Cities, and presented a number of issues when the bill was first in front of the committee that we thought needed clarification. This amendment does address those. We very much appreciate the work with the author to do that.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And Chair Hansen, would you like to present the A9 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move the A9 amendment. This is based on testimony from the Commissioner of Natural Resources when she was here on the ability to reduce the appropriations for the Adopt a Dumpster program. It also adds into the appropriation about quarterly reports, requiring quarterly reports on the CWD progress, both from the research and the Commissioner of Natural Resources.
Are there any questions? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, I'm not clear on this. This has to do with the dumpsters. Are you asking for a quarterly report just on how the dumpster program is going or everything. And I don't have the context of the bill here either. I need to turn to that page, but it's coming at us kind of quickly.
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, so the appropriation reductions are for the dumpster program, but the quarterly report is on the whole $4.4 million appropriation for CWD. Okay. So that you and I will get reports quarterly.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the amendments? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
And we will share those quarterly reports with the rest of the committee.
Which we will certainly read. Next up, we'll hear the A21 amendment. Chair Hanson, would you like to move the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The A21 amendment is the language provided for the Pollution Control Agency to clarify the carpet stewardship program.
Are there any questions? Any discussion? And Chair Hanson, if you'd like to move the amendment.
I would move the A21 amendment.
All right, well, then vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. And we'll next hear the A19-422 amendment. Representative Eklund, would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move the A19-422 amendment. Madam Chair, members, this amendment was brought forward because on these aquatic invasive species surcharge, a lot of these small boats and small resorts and nonprofits have several boats in their properties that never leave the lake they're on. So I just wanted to try to provide relief for some of the small resorts and nonprofits that are out in most of our districts, and that's why I brought this amendment forward.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Eklund and Heintzman, I know, are concerned. Does this fit into, and Lewick, does this fit into what you were attempting to do earlier? I'm assuming so, but thank you.
Chair Hanson.
I support the amendment.
All those in favor of the A19-422 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we'll take up the A10 amendment. Representative Green, would you like to move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A10. A little bit of background on the A10 amendment, and it, I know when you first read it, it says installer is not liable, and it sounds a little scary, but what this is in certain counties are the authority over sewer installation drain fields. And if you're familiar with the process, you can have a slight difference in color modeling, and that would, and so you'll have to have enough separation between wherever that color is and maybe up to 3 feet above that. So that's why we have a lot of mound systems. And what is happening is that the systems are installed and the counties will inspect the systems and they will sign off on them. So they're good to go. But if there's anything that triggers another test of that sewer, in some counties what they're doing is they're going back and they're reboring, but they're boring right on top of the drain field. And if you know what that would do, you're boring down into ground now that has water in it from the drain field itself. And what they're doing is they're requiring them to come in and redo those drain fields. But it's only in certain counties. And so what this bill is doing is says that, it doesn't have anything to do with negligence or misconduct. If that system fails for an installer mistake, they're still liable. But if it's just because of the modeling and they're drilling a boring hole, what this says is once that county water sewer authority is signed off, then there's no more liability to the installer at that point for if they happen to find color later. That makes sense, and I'll answer questions on it.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my concern is that the amendment has to do with liability, and I don't think we want to have to send this bill over to the Civil Law Committee, and I don't know if that's been, you know, if that's been part of the discussion. This language is new. You know, I don't think we heard. Did we hear this bill as a standalone bill?
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And Representative, no, we didn't. I did submit the bill, and it did not get a hearing. And but this isn't something that I brought forward on my own. I'm getting a lot of complaints within my counties, and the installers are very frustrated. And they said, can't you do something about this? Because, you know, this is costing us a lot of money after they've already okayed our sewer systems. And so that's why it's here today.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I still have concerns. I wouldn't want to have to send the whole bill over to the Civil Law Committee. So I guess I would oppose the amendment.
Chair Hansen.
Madam Speaker and members of the committee and Representative Green, I think we've talked about this in previous years a bit. I seem to remember it. And I don't. Did it go to this committee or did it go to the Environment Policy Committee?
Representative Green.
Madam Chair and Representative, I do believe it was supposed to go to policy, but I also think that your bill here today has the policy provisions in it, so I brought it here. And I don't think that the policy committee is meeting anymore. So,
Chair Hansen?
And Madam Speaker, or Madam Chair, we may not be meeting anymore either, but I would be interested in the future on this because I remember it. And I think it is a challenge out there. I think Representative Becker Finn brings up a good concern. I don't want it to have to go to civil law. I guess Representative Green, I would work with you on this in the future, just because I know it's an issue, and maybe it needs to be defined a little clearer, so it's clearer. But I would oppose it at this time.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair, not Madam Speaker. We've had that several times here today. So to the issue of this not having to go to another committee, I've raised several issues during session, not just in this committee, but others about the tracks of bills and where they could go and should go. It's interesting to me that now when the table may be turned a little bit, it's a concern. So. Representative Hansen, though, I would ask if you seem to be willing to continue this conversation, can you give Representative Green and the committee some assurance that even in this legislative session, as things move through the process, you'd be willing to sit down and hear the concerns of rural counties? And it's not just his county. It's all counties where we have the SSTS systems, and we're trying to make it possible for the installers to really keep their costs down and do a good job. And where they're liable, as Representative Green pointed out, they're liable for something. So thank you. I would appreciate that affirmation.
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Fabian, I'm looking at when we go before adjournment on May 20th, hopefully, that we have some informational hearings so that we are not starting, that we don't just stop today. So this is the type of thing I think for all members, if we can find time as we're moving through the process to even have a informal hearing, but separate from that, I would meet with you and okay.
Representative Green.
Madam Chair, then I will probably withdraw the amendment now with that affirmation, but I will, you know, just to reiterate a little bit, it's one thing to, you know, be concerned about liability for your work. And if you do shoddy work, you should be liable. But if you've done everything according to the specifications put out by the authority, and the authority does sign off on your work, then you should have a little bit of security against being liable for things that are no longer within your control. So this is a pretty important bill, and I would look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Representative Green has withdrawn the A-10 amendment. Next, we'll hear the A-11 amendment. Representative Green, would you like to present and move your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to move the A11 amendment. And I would also, before we go forward with this one, I would like to ask Ms. Taylor a question, because I've been getting mixed information coming back on this. When this first came to me, what happens is our water, or our soil and water districts, are very big in northern Minnesota, and so they have a joint powers together, and when they meet together, we can have people within our soil and water conservation districts driving from Roseau, for instance, way down to almost southern Minnesota, and they're having trouble getting the folks to the meetings. And so when I suggested to them that why don't they do teleconference meetings, because it seems to make sense with our technology, they told me that they couldn't. So I checked with our research, and I got some information saying that, no, it doesn't look like they can. And now I'm getting some other information saying, yeah, maybe they can. So I'd like to ask Ms. Taylor for clarification before we move forward on this.
Ms. Taylor?
Madam Chair, Representative Green, I have had a little conversation with Deb Dyson in our office, who handles this, and she's definitely the expert on open meeting law. But she did say that she does believe that they have the authority to do, like, Skyping and interactive TV already. It's possible maybe they are trying to do something, some other sort of telephone use, but as far as she can understands, they can Skype and interactive TV already.
Representative Green.
Well, with those, I wish that I would have had that information earlier. Like I said, I was getting some mixed information on that. So with that, then I would also withdraw this one. But I will say that if it comes back, and maybe there is some other differences, I would probably be bringing this back again too, because it has become a problem in our areas.
Thank you. The A11 amendment is withdrawn. Next, we will hear the A3 amendment. Representative Lewick, would you like to move your amendment and present?
Thank you. I'd like to move the A3 amendment. And what this is about, Crow Wing County has a large complex of several thousand acres. We refer to it as the Mississippi River Northwoods complex. And we've got the Sand Creek that splits it. And so what the county is working on is to put an all-purpose multi-use bridge in there so that we can get folks across the creek and not disrupt anything. The reason we're asking that we would move $150,000 from the ATV account to Crow Wing County is it is property that they manage, and it's in a much longer, bigger complex that actually protects about 9 undeveloped miles of Mississippi River. And in addition to somebody's got to put a bridge across that creek. When I say somebody, another thing that's going to impact that here in the future is we've got the Cuyuna Lake State Regional Trail that would go from Brainerd all the way down to Aiken, Minnesota. We've almost done with the center segment of it. The segment that goes back from Crosby Ironton to Brainerd has to go right through this area. And so at some point in time in the future, we got to put a bridge across Sand Creek. And this is an effort here to allow the county to actually do the baseline work on this, to do the design work. And I say it's part of this. Words why it says multi-purpose bridge is to make sure that it'll meet everybody's needs there, literally, I've got, believe it or not, at this moment we got everybody agreeing: non-motorized, motorized, snowmobiles, ATV, county. This has got implications for the state rec area, which is just a little further down the road. And this just starts us down the process of something we know we have to do, get this project started.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Lewick, I have sat through enough meetings with the Mississippi River Northwoods mm-hmm. thing that I'm a little cautious here on accepting it. I don't know, what is DNR willing to testify on this?
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, DNR. DNR does support this amendment. We have been working with all the parties involved to try to create this access. So, unfortunately, we haven't been able to talk to the chairman about the amendment yet, but I know the user groups and the DNR both think this is needed, so it's a step forward in the right direction.
Representative Lewis?
Madam Chair, if I could add, and specific to Representative Hansen's questions, believe it or not, I double-checked with a couple of prime movers, starting with Crow Wing County, about a half an hour ago, and said, now, guys, let's make sure there's no, because, yeah, we know there was some background several years ago about that whole property, but I really believe we're ready to move forward on this.
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, Representative Lewis, thank you for doing that homework. I think it will be important as the design phase is done and we move forward into implementation that all users of this bridge will be paying a fair share. So I think that's part of the goal here as well. There is money in the account to do this. It won't upset the bottom line, so to speak, so we do have a little bit of a reserve.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm supportive of this amendment, but I do need to know, is this going to detract financially from any of Representative Eklund's trails?
Chair Hansen.
Maybe Mr. Hagemeyer could talk about that this does not take from anything else.
Mr. Hagemeyer.
Madam Chair, this doesn't take from anything else in the bill. Currently, it'd be bottom line of the account. There's a number of things going on in the account. There's the governor recommendations. We moved one of those to a contingent appropriation. The DE3 includes a number of trails, including some that Representative Eklund had in there. But this doesn't put the account negative.
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair, so Representative Lewick, I just want to make sure there's no drama on this that we...
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I love no drama.
I would be supportive.
Madam Chair, just really quickly, it's important to realize that these fees were raised 2 years ago at the support and request of the All Terrain Vehicle Association of Minnesota. We weren't able to appropriate any of those funds last year, so it may seem like a lot of due to unforeseen circumstances, we were not able to appropriate any of those funds. So there's some pent-up demand. I think people may question why all these spending out of this account. This is the reason why we've been waiting. The users have been waiting to access to their funds for a while. So we appreciate the support.
Chair Hansen, any final comments?
I would support. With no drama.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And next, we'll hear the A4 amendment. Representative Fabian, would you like to move your A4 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an issue that came to me just within the last few days, and I appreciate the help that I got from DNR on this. Simply what this is doing, and I've already checked, there are some statutes in place in law that talk about application deadlines and so forth, and I just want to clarify it in this case. I got a call from a grandfather who mailed a check to the DNR on, I'll just say, Thursday. It was postmarked Thursday. And, of course, for us, it's postmarked in Grand Forks because that's where our mail goes. But the grandson's birthday was on Sunday. So Grandpa was buying for his birthday a lifetime license. So the birthday is Sunday. It's not delivered on Sunday. It's delivered on Monday. He gets a call from DNR. Sorry, you missed the deadline. We will have to charge you an extra roughly $200 for the lifetime license because it went into the next age category. DNR, can testify on this. All I'm trying to make it is that the postmark is the date certain for when it's actually applied for. Pretty simple.
Chair Hansen?
You could have a DNR testify.
Mr. Meyer?
Madam Chairman, Bob Meyer, DNR. We do support the amendment. We were working with I've been working with Representative Fabian to rectify. We have rectified the situation because of the way the mail works in some places in Minnesota. It takes longer than others to get the information here, so we did correct that position, that situation, and we would support this language.
Thank you.
Representative Fabian?
Thank you.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just want to clarify, I didn't quite have time to pull up all of 97A.405 in the statutes, but would this be retroactive so that it actually helps the constituent that Representative Fabian's speaking about?
Mr. Meyer?
Madam Chair, I don't know. The situation that Representative referred to was able to be addressed administratively. We corrected that. I personally called the father and congratulated him for buying his son a license. So
Grandfather.
Whatever we can do to make sure people are getting outdoors, we're obviously going to do. The date, the deadline that we had on that application was put there several years ago when we raised the license fees to make sure that people were getting their applications in before the birthdays changed, just to allow for that notification to occur. We do recognize the issue. And as I said, this language will resolve those things, and we'll make sure that works going forward.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I mean, there are many other places in law where the postmark is sufficient to meet deadlines. So just wanted to make sure it was actually helping that specific person, and now it'll be clear for others, too.
Representative Fabian. Yeah. Representative Hansen, any final comments on that?
Would support.
Amendment? All those in favor of the A4 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Next, we'll hear the A8 amendment. Representative Fabian, would you like to move and present the A8?
I would like to move the A8 amendment, Madam Chair. And can we back up for a second, Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative
Fabian. I'm not sure that we actually moved the A4. I think I did, but yes, I don't recall.
I think I did ask you to move the A4 amendment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I will move the A8 amendment. This literally just came to me just within the last, I believe it's 2 days. I'm trying to create more opportunities for the big game hunters in Minnesota. The elk herd in northwest Minnesota is healthy. The latest numbers, and I just got them, Rick for Sam Hansen, I don't know if as chair you got these numbers or not. The Kitson Central herd now has 94 adult elk in it. And they have a management goal of 50 to 60. What I would like to do is make sure that the people who are applying have a better chance. I've been applying for years. I've never received a license. I don't even get them in Wyoming anymore, but we'll see what happens. And so what I'm trying to do is make sure that we give lots of opportunities to the big game hunters who are interested in this. The other thing that I would like to do is if you are successful in the draw, it's a one-time deal. And as the program currently is set up, you are basically have a certain timeline where you can hunt 5 or 7 days. If you are unsuccessful, you're done. At the end of the season, this year, for example, there were a number, I think the goal that they had set was 22 or 24 elk, and they didn't achieve that goal through the hunting season. And there's not a second chance for people to go and fill their tag if they choose to. So what I'm trying to do is create more opportunity, give a second chance. If it's a once-in-a-lifetime, allow for a second chance later in the season after everybody else has had an opportunity in the field, and then try to keep the occurred within the stated management goal that's been negotiated and planned through the ELK work group that's up there. I appreciate the work that John Williams and DNR have done up there in the DNR, and I just would like to have more assurance that we are providing more opportunities.
Chair Hansen, any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Fabian, I would oppose the amendment at this time. One of the informational hearings I was looking at was to hear on the Fond du Lac Elk project, and I think we could wrap in Elk. I'd like to defer to the Department of Natural Resources on how they set the hunting seasons and their method on using things. But I think that could be, rather than having that here, that would be something. I'd like to have a little bit of an Elk Day, possibly, if that's
Madam Chair.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, thank you. This, like I said, this literally just came to me. I would love to have a hearing on this and have a bill and so forth, but, you know, if you take a look at when they did the flying and when I actually got the information, the letter that I got from John Williams is dated, this is actually dated March 1st, but I just got it from him in my email just on Monday, I believe it was. So, thank you.
And it looks like we have a testifier. Would you please introduce yourself for the record?
Madam Chair, members, for the record, my name is Pat Rivers, Deputy Director for Minnesota DNR's Division of Fish and Wildlife.
Thank you, Mr. Rivers.
Representative Fabian, we are trying to manage the herd two goal. As you remember, last year we had a elk population of 75 in that Kitson Central. We offered 20 elk permits to try and get back down to within goal. And hunters were successful. They harvested 15 elk, and we had immigration into that area. So that's why we have an increased population to 94. Sometimes those elk don't know really where they're supposed to be living, and these elk moved. There are other issues related to elk mortality that we want to be conservative about. We want to protect this herd. Things like car collisions and other issues of natural mortality are something we need to consider, as well as hunting opportunity. If we did issue additional hunting opportunity, we would do that potentially at the expense of crowding hunters in the lands up there and having additional hunters bumping elk, and we could actually see, and we have seen, elk success rates go down. So we're trying to maximize that hunting opportunity as well as success of controlling that herd through the success rate of the hunters.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate that, but if what I'm hearing you say, you don't get to there, then what is your, you have spent a lot of time, effort, energy, and money planning and doing and getting to your goal. So what happens if after next year, and I know the road kills are minimal, you're probably looking at one or two a year from everything that I've heard from the Kitson County Sheriff's Department and them. How do you plan then to manage that herd between the stated goal of 50 and 60 to get back to that number? And I realize that they migrate. And members, just so you know, we didn't count the biggest herd up there this year, the Caribou Vita herd, because the Canadian government had decided that they weren't going to fly this year. And so it doesn't make much sense as these animals are crossing back and forth on the border. You got airspace issues. You can't go into Canada and count them. And I do realize that there is some migration that goes on. But I'd like to kind of keep peace up there. I've been involved in the middle of this stuff, and this is a important situation. But at the same time, some of the elk that are there are absolute world-class elk, and there's a lot of hunters out there that would relish the opportunity to pursue one.
Mr. Rivers?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, you're absolutely right. Those bull elk are truly desired by many people. We are managing the population primarily through cow tags, and we're looking at additional opportunities in December for those hunters who may not be successful in those initial hunts. We do want to concentrate the effort in October when hunting success is greatest, so we really don't want to give that opportunity in December up front. We want them to hunt ahead of the hunting season. We are looking at additional opportunities, however.
Thank you.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I did just want to clarify, since we haven't had a full conversation in either the Environment Committees on elk, that you already have a season, and as I'm looking at the statute, it's whenever the population exceeds 20 animals, you're already doing that management. Could you just talk a little bit about what's already happening?
Mr. Rivers.
Madam Chair, Representative Becker-Finn, yes, we already have seasons. In the Kitson Central herd, we manage three different seasons, A, B, and C. We've had up to seven hunters, I believe, per time period. And then we look at the population level and determine how many cows or how many bulls should be removed from the herd or allowed to be removed from the herd through hunting as a means of control and also for opportunity for hunters to enjoy.
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I wouldn't want to I'd want to leave it up to the DNR, I think, to continue doing what they're doing. And I will point out, you know, elk are also a cervid. So as we're looking at chronic wasting disease and, you know, making sure that the DNR has the tools they need to address that, you know, it seems like a good idea to continue to give you the latitude to act in the best interest of our natural resources. So thank you.
Mr. Rivers?
Madam Chair, thank you. And just a note on that Caribou Vita herd, that northern herd that we share with Manitoba, we did not fly it this year because of the reasons Representative Fabian noted. We did fly it last year. There were 133 animals, with 126 of them being in Manitoba and 7 in Minnesota.
Representative Sundin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just if there will be an elk summit, I'd like to be a part of that, and I'd like to also make certain the Fond du Lac tribe is in the room and participating.
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair, and that was my intent, is both on Fond du Lac and and this, and perhaps Representative Fabian, we can get MLA Graydon from Manitoba to come down as well. So,
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd be happy to amend my motion or my amendment here so that we guarantee that Representative Sundin gets a license. But I know. I do, Madam Chair, thank you. I do want to clarify one thing. Representative Becker-Finn said something about when there's more than 20. I think that in that case, she's referring to the Grigler herd, which is down where my cabin is. The numbers that we're looking at here are in Kitson County and Manitoba, which is 85 miles, 90 miles apart, something like that. So I think that's where you're at, but...
Representative Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, it's 97B.515, which is the taking elk chapter, so it doesn't specify which herd they're referring to.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, I would oppose at this time.
No further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Next, we will hear the A5 amendment. Now, whose amendment was this? This is to... this is about the Walter Mondale State Park renaming.
Yep. This is mine, Nathan Nelson. I would have moved an amendment.
Welcome, Representative Nelson. Please present your amendment.
So, this would actually delete the lines here, but just a kind of a couple things behind it. I'm a little bit new here, so I was sworn in a week ago yesterday. I found out about this yesterday morning. I called our park rangers, and I talked with them. This was the first they had heard of this, of the possibility of being named. And one of the first things that they brought up when I was talking with them, I said, "Well, this is a National Historical Landmark, which is the highest designation that a property can get. It was built by the CCC, the Conservation Corps, and also the Work in Progress back in the 1930s and 40s. And there's 164 different landmarks that are crucial to that. And that was some of their first concern. And just a little bit of my research I've had is it sounds like it will probably take an act of Congress to change this and not just out of our body itself, just a little bit of work that I've done. And when I mentioned to the park managers that there was about $50,000 that was appropriated to this, the manager, he kind of chuckled and he says, this is the largest state park in the state's 34,000 acres. That wouldn't cover the printing the signs alone, let alone the labor or anything else with that. So he is very concerned about it. I've got several of the neighbors that work at the park. I'd gotten calls from them last night. They've started hearing about this and are very concerned about changing the name of a historical place in our county, and I would ask for support of this amendment.
Thank you. Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hate to do this on your first amendment, but I would oppose the amendment. I know there was a public meeting, I believe, in Hinckley last week, and you know, earlier, there, I think the original Representative Winkler bill had looked at Interstate Park, and the move towards St. Croix State Park, I think, was a better option, and so I would oppose the amendment.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to hear from DNR on this, please.
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chairman, members, Bob Meyer, DNR. State parks are named in statute. State parks can be renamed. This is part of an ongoing conversation I know Representative Winkler is having with different communities throughout the state. Hinckley was receptive to the name. There are some challenges in changing the name, primarily the fiscal part of it. The $50,000 is probably a little south of what we're going to need. But it's part of an ongoing communication, or ongoing conversation that we're having with the legislature, and Representative Winkler, frankly, is having with local communities on how do we recognize the great work that, that Walter Mondale has done for the St. Croix River system. So there are a few concerns about implementing this language. Obviously, the legislature provides direction, and the DNR follows the direction the legislature provides us. So we welcome the opportunity to be part of the conversation, and this is just one option that's on the table at this point in time.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we had the hearing and Representative Winkler was here, I thought that there was some movement towards there's a scenic route or byway or something there, and that was going to be something that would be looked into. What happened to that option?
Mr. Meyer or Chair Hansen?
Madam Chair and Representative Fabian, I believe they had that public meeting over the weekend, and that shifted kind of the focus on that, because I remember that conversation as well. But I think from public input, St. Croix State Park was a better option.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So then, Commissioner Meyer, how do you, Representative Nelson is doing a great job representing his constituents. How do you plan to weave through and navigate through congressional designation of this as a national historical landscape or whatever it's called?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, we did check on that issue this morning, and from what we've learned, there would not need an act of Congress to implement this name change. If there's other information that we're not aware of, we certainly should talk about that. Obviously, there would need to be a historical review, so work with the State Historical Preservation Office, SHPO, on some of those pieces. But from what we've learned, there would not need to be any congressional action federally.
Representative Fabian.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Members, we haven't had a hearing on this park. We had a hearing on another option. I think we would be doing a really disservice to the people that live up in that area. Granted, there was a public meeting or whatever, but the public meeting, according to what I'm hearing here, was to discuss the option of the scenic byway, and then somehow at that meeting it shifted over to this. We haven't had a hearing. We heard before earlier today, we haven't had hearings on this, we haven't had hearings on that, and now we're going to, in statute, we're going to change the name of a park with no hearing, no public testimony here before this committee. Members, we're making a big mistake.
Representative Becker Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just wanted to clarify, it's the building and structures that are listed on the National Register of Historic Sites, not the park itself. So this would just be renaming the park itself, which is within the purview of our Minnesota statutes.
Mr. Meyer? Chair Hansen, any comment? All right. Representative Lewick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I would simply comment that in deference to, Walter Mondale's a great citizen of Minnesota, I think we're being a little short-sighted here. This should be a discussion amongst all the people of Minnesota, not the people at Hinckley, not the they're right next door but to me, but I think we're really jumping the gun here. This should be a discussion of the people of Minnesota, not one particular region or section. And so I would just suggest that this is way premature, and let's let everybody, all the citizens of Minnesota, consider this. And by doing this, you're simply short-stepping and eliminating that opportunity. So I would suggest that we could just hold on to this and maybe have some more informational hearings down the road.
And Representative Tice.
And, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hansen, I tend to agree that this is a state issue and not a regional issue. We look at a lot of times renaming roads and trails and things like that after people. And I kind of have an issue with the fact that usually they're not with us anymore. And that is not the case here. So I would rather see a conversation where we do talk statewide. My family and I, when our sons were younger, spent a lot of time at the state parks. And now to rename them, I think, really is a disservice to the rest of Minnesota. St. Croix State Park and all the state parks are pretty much named for regional significance. And to change this, really, I just have an issue with that. I think if we're going to name it after someone, we should look more at a byway or a trail or something like that. I think that would be a great way to honor what Walter Mondale has done. But to just say that it's a regional issue, I don't agree with that at all. And I think it should be vetted throughout the state. Thank you.
Representative Fabian.
I'll pass.
Representative Nelson.
I would just like to add that when I was talking with a park ranger yesterday, he said, reiterate that, Mr. Mondale had done a tremendous amount of work for the St. Croix River Scenic, just keeping it, kind of in its natural place. And he really appreciated that, but again, he reiterated that, naming the park after him is not something that he would support as a manager, but, thought that we could really see something else that would be better approved, and I would ask for a roll call on this vote.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have probably a question for research, but first, I know there's a timeline you have to have, and when you advertise for a public meeting, usually has to be in the paper like 2 or 3 weeks before the meeting, has to be advertised twice in some cases. And I'm wondering what the timeline was on this, when the meeting was, and how it was advertised. Does anyone know that?
Chair Hansen, or perhaps Mr. Meyer? Representative Green, I'm not sure we have an answer for you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to find that out, and I would rather not put this into the bill. I mean, we're going to have informational hearings later on other parts of the our other amendments that we've had, and that might be a good idea for this one as well. Ms. Taylor, can you tell us what the requirements are for a public meeting?
Ms. Taylor?
Madam Chair, Representative Green, it would depend on what exactly was happening. There's statutory requirements for public meetings, but it would depend on what the issue is, and I'm not aware of if there's any specific requirements on this particular issue.
Well, there again, I have to be really honest with you. If the people in the area want to rename their park, I guess that's up to them. I don't know that I have a dog in the fight for this park up there, but I am I've always been concerned over open meeting laws and notifying the public as to what's coming up, because if there's no public notice of this meeting ahead of time, and no one is coming to give their input because they don't even know there is a meeting, that's not really the way we should be doing things. And so I'll be voting against the amendment, but I would probably request that this too be pulled off, and let's have some informational hearings on this and make sure that the process was done correctly.
Chair Hansen, do you have any comments on the amendment?
I would oppose the amendment.
And a roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Hansen.
No.
Claflin.
No.
Fabian.
Yes.
Backer. Becker Finn.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Fisher.
Nope.
Green.
Yes.
Heintzman.
Yes.
Lee.
No.
Lewick.
Yes.
Morrison.
No.
Nelson.
Yes.
Purcell.
No.
Sandell.
No.
Sundin.
No.
Tice.
Yes.
Wagenius.
No. There are 6 ayes and 11 nays. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. And our final amendment is A13. Whose amendment was this?
Mine.
Representative Heintzman, would you like to move your amendment and present the bill?
I would move the 813, Madam Chair. This is language that was language I carried last year. It had bipartisan support, was reasonably non-controversial, worked with the DNR and U.S. Forest Service. They've been supportive of the language. It allows up to $400,000 to be spent out of the off-road vehicle account to create a position, and then also work to develop this border-to-border trail system. We were pretty successful in the last cycle, and we'd like to bring this forward again today.
Chair Hansen.
I'm sure I would oppose the amendment.
Is there any further discussion? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, we're not impacting your target or anything here. This was Representative Eklund's bill earlier. I'd like an explanation why you would oppose this.
Chair Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. I think as we mentioned last night, there is an appropriation in the governor's budget that's carried forward. I don't believe that this amendment is needed at this time.
Any further discussion? Representative Heintzman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd like DNR to come down, please.
Mr. Meyer? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, what guarantee is there in the governor's budget proposal that Chair Hansen is referring to that this project is going to move forward with the adequate funding to be able to accomplish what the Four-Wheel Drive Association is wanting to do?
Mr. Mayor.
Chair, Representative Fabian, within the increased appropriation under the Parks and Trails Division, some of these dollars are contained within that parcel. They aren't earmarked for it. Mr. Hagemeyer could identify where that is in the bill. I don't have the bill in front of me in that section right now. I think it's important to note that this route, as was discussed in committee previously, is like a scenic byway or something like that. The roads are already there. You can drive your highway licensed vehicle on these routes right now. All we're simply doing is linking a series of roads, trunk highways, county roads, some forest roads in certain cases that we've gone through and looked at that we feel are sustainable to handle this traffic, and we're identifying that on a map. So I know there's some angst out there with people. For example, the route goes right past my hunting camp. So these are routes that I can drive my four-wheeler on or my truck on, my ATV on right now. We're just simply publicizing that, that you can get from one side of the country, one side of the state to the other through this route. So we understand the angst. We think it's important to do what we can to protect that and make sure people are aware of it and to work with all stakeholders to provide riding opportunities, but also make sure that the roadways are protected and not degraded from this use.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So since this bill was not included in House File 2209, the DE3, what conversations have you had with a four-wheel drive association regarding your commitment to getting this project done?
Mr. Meyer?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, it pretty much followed the conversation that I just had with you all, that we are working on this, continuing to work on this route, trying to make it a possibility and supporting all entities wherever possible.
Representative Fabian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So is the Four-Wheel Drive Association comfortable with that?
Is the Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association here today? Thank you. Please introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members, Dan Larson, Minnesota Four-Wheel Drive Association. The preference certainly be to have the committee take the same action it did last year, which was to move the provisions in the amendment into the omnibus bill. I don't know how much more you want from me than that. That would be our preference.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. Larson, the money that is being requested in this amendment, where does that money come from and who pays into that account?
Madam Chair, Representative, two primary sources, unrefunded gas tax is the primary source. We also have a fund for stickers that that allow you to go on the 11 or so off mile dedicated trail miles that that the association has or that the state has provided. So unrefunded gas tax, TAB, and sticker fees.
Okay.
Representative Fabian? Any further discussion? Chair Hansen, any comments on the amendment?
I would oppose the amendment.
Representative Heinzman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of things. I'd like to point out that a portion of these dollars are really there to try to work with counties and help counties. That's something that the current language doesn't offer in the quantities of dollars necessary. It may be that in some situations there may be some maintenance that's needed or otherwise. And we're really trying to create this position so that we can work with our counties and work with DNR and others to try and establish this. And like we were talking about a moment ago, we're not putting vehicles in places that they're not already allowed to go. They're licensed vehicles, and just moving people through these scenic areas, allowing some more revenues from that activity to reach out through the state. There'd be some obvious tourism activity relative to that happening statewide, and really allowing people to have a guide where they know this is where they can be at day one through maybe day five, day 10, whatever their trip may allow. This is really a neat thing that we can do. Doesn't cost a ton of money. And I hope that members could support the amendment.
Representative Green.
Thanks. I was not going to speak on this because this is another thing that, you know, these people are paying for this themselves. It's the money they've paid into this account. And so, you know, just to be clear with what Representative Heisman was saying, these vehicles can go right down this route today. There's nothing that you can do to stop them. They've paid their license fees. They've paid the road tax when they buy the gas. What these funds are doing is $200,000 to reimburse federal tribes, state, and county township entities for additional needs on their roads. So without these funds, they could still drive down the road. There just wouldn't be any funds for the counties and townships and tribal areas. And you can read in the bill what the rest of the funds are for, and it doesn't touch the bottom line. We're not going to the taxpayers of Minnesota and saying we need some money out of the general fund. It's their money. They asked to be taxed on some of this stuff, and this is where they want the money to go. And so I don't really see a problem with the amendment, and I hope you guys can support it.
I'd request that.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd request a roll call, please.
A roll call has been requested. Chair Hanson, any final comments?
Vote no.
Right, the clerk will take the roll.
Hanson.
No.
Claflin.
No.
Fabian.
Yes.
Backer. Becker Finn.
No.
Eklund.
Yes.
Fisher.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Heintzman.
Yes.
Lee.
No.
Lewick.
Yes.
Morrison.
No.
Nelson.
Yes.
Purcell.
No.
Sandell.
No.
Sundin.
Yes.
Tice.
Yes.
Wagenius.
The vote is 8 ayes and 9 nays. The motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. That wrapped up all of our amendments. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill as amended? Representative Hanson, do you have any closing comments?
Members of the committee, the chair, and members in the audience and those watching at home, House File 2209 as amended is a comprehensive environmental natural resources bill. It is full of a variety of program changes looking at solving problems. It ranges from pollinator protection to carpet stewardship to reimbursing dry cleaners to dealing with funding some of our a wide variety of our projects. We were provided with a target that was the governor's. We have taken some of the governor's language and provided some additional priorities based on members. We have included Republican and Democratic amendments and Republican and Democratic bills. So I am asking for your support for this comprehensive bill. I would renew my motion that House File 2209 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and direct staff to make any technical corrections to conform with the action and intent of the division.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hanson, I apologize for coming in after you have kind of given your closing, but I do have a couple of tabs in my notes here. I'm looking for on page 58 the deer license and crossed out the donation and the surcharge for that. Would you go back through that for me again and re-explain what's going on there? And then also the same thing down on 58.23.
Chair Hanson.
Madam Chair, and I think if we could have Mr. Hagemeyer, this was the bill relating to this is the donation on the walk-in access. So we're removing the walk-in access. So each of these provisions that surcharge is when you would ask if you wanted to make a donation. When you buy a license, if you were buying a small game license, if you wanted to buy one, donate one, $3 or $5 for donation to the walk-in access program. And so instead of we're deleting that. I think we talked about this yesterday. So you're not being asked that question, and instead we're providing the $250K appropriation to fund the WAC walk-in access program, rather than relying on the definitions or the donations, and I believe this is the language that conforms to that. And Ms. Taylor, said, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on that.
Ms. Taylor, Mr. Hagemeyer, any comments?
Madam Chair, that is correct. There's a number of provisions that needed to be changed in order to make those changes. But yeah, that's the Watkin Access Program donations.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So then on page 46, we have the venison donation program. Well, first I'll go back to this. I spoke yesterday about this. I like the fact that people can donate the things that they like to do. And I think that we are taking away, I'm not necessarily opposed to you doing something with the general fund, as I said before, but when I go and get my fishing license, which I did again this year, and I'm sure all the conservation-minded people in this room have done the same thing, when they went to buy their fishing license, they purchased a walleye stamp, right? All of you did that, correct? No? Okay.
I buy the trout stamp.
Yeah, good. So my point is that there's a lot of people that are committed to doing this, and they would like to continue making the donation. I'm confused as to why you're doing that and why you're taking that option away from the folks of Minnesota that like the Walking Access program and think that it's valuable and they can use it, and we don't have to use as much from the general fund. On page 46, again, this is the venison donation program, and I don't know if there's a on line 46.21, the phrase is used reasonable and documented as determined by the commissioner within the limits of the available funding. That's a fairly open-ended statement. I'm not sure if there's language in statute that defines reasonable. I'm not sure if the DNR wants to comment on what's reasonable or not, you know, what I think maybe and what they think could be different. So explain to me what you're doing here.
Chair Hansen.
Madam Chair and Representative Fabian, so this was heard in, this was the provision that was heard in the ag committees, and then Chair Poppy asked me to carry here because the money comes from the DNR. So the documented costs they have, and let me just go back in time, the $70, and for members who are new, this is a cautionary tale about writing an exact number for something into, because inflation occurs over time. So over 10 years, $70 to process a deer is not necessarily the cost for processing a deer anymore. So the reasonable, what this provision, section 4 on page 46, is designed to do, the commissioner that's described here is the commissioner of agriculture that determines the reasonable and documented cost. This is under section 17.03. But the fees are transferred, and again, Ms. Taylor could correct me if I'm wrong here, but the fees are transferred from the Department of Natural Resources to the Department of Ag. So the documented costs, they're going to have to show if you're company A and you're processing deer, you're going to have to show some real cost. That this is what it costs to this is what we charge for processing. So it isn't unlimited, but it also is going to move over time, so we're not locked in at $70. So the intent here was to provide that authority to the Commissioner of Agriculture. The money gets sent from the DNR over to Ag, and Ag is the one that actually does the reimbursement to the processors because that's in their world. But Chair Poppy wanted me to carry this over here because the transfer of money comes from the DNR's account, if that makes sense.
Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So then, DNR carries the impact in your budget, but Ag gets the money transferred to them. So my question is then what is the fiscal impact of this? There's no fiscal note that I remember. You know, maybe they saw one in Ag. I didn't see one, and there's no appropriate, or there's nothing fiscal in this section.
And Commissioner Myers here, but I believe there is a fiscal note from the Ag, and I don't remember off the top of my head how much it was, but maybe Mr. Hagemeyer has that.
Madam Chair, Representative Hansen, I don't remember exactly. I think that it's a special revenue fund transfer to Ag. I think the fiscal note showed an increase of like $24,000 a year or something like that.
I think they're working on it. It's relatively small.
Mr. Meyer?
No. We got it. I'm good.
Madam Chairman, Representative Fabian, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. Our fiscal note shows about $24,000 impact per year based upon, and then it's looking at about an average of about $150 per deer, which I think is about the going rate right now.
Okay. Representative Fabian?
So just to be clear, then, you're just going to absorb these costs? Because is there a fee being charged? How are the costs being recovered?
Madam Chair, Representative Fabian, the only thing that's being eliminated it's just allowing more revenue. There's a $5 fee, I believe, currently on all non-resident deer licenses that go into this account, and also $1 off of each antlerless bonus tag going into the account. So, in essence, what we're doing is we're paying the processors more, which will decrease the number of deer that will be able to be processed for the program. But the processors will be paid what their actual costs are now, rather than a lower subsidized value.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So if we expanded elk hunting opportunities, would there be more revenue there?
Madam Chair, nice try.
Are there any further questions for Chair Hansen? Chair Hansen, would you like to renew your motion?
Yes.
Chair Hansen renewed the motion that House File 2209 as amended be recommended to be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means and to direct staff to make any technical corrections to conform with the action and intent of the division. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Chair Hansen.
Thank you.
We are adjourned.
We're done now.